Hey everybody, and welcome back for another episode of The Overlay, a poker podcast brought to you by CCG Poker and Paramount Social Club. Hey Brando, what's up?
What up?
Today, we're going to continue on our mini-series of the toughest premium hold'em hands to play. 21 seconds, that's the new record of how fast I get. Yeah, because normally like the over and under is like 5 minutes. This is like
right.
super
Normally
fucking...
we have to talk about the previous weekend in Texas,
right.
the weekend coming up in Chicago,
right.
the weather, a little bit right. of politics, right. and then we get into it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm skipping all that today because I find that Jax should be number one on this list, and it's not. It's number three of toughest premium hold'em hands to play.
I think that if they had the list that was like the most painful hold'em hands to play.
Okay. That's
Jax is on top of the list.
That's
just
true.
The pain.
You want to hear
pain
my
pain with Jax.
Want to hear my previous. So I was at Paramount this past weekend, yeah. Which was awesome. I had a great time. I run well in Texas. I do. I'm a Texas runner. I seem to do okay at the games. And even when I lose, I feel like it's like it's certainly not my fault. Right? Like
no,
it's just, you know, just bad.
This is Texas poker. Kenny plays perfect.
I play perfect down there. I played in a tournament on Sunday at Paramount. It's called the Paramount Cup. It's like their season-long points list. They do like every 3 months, they do a season-long points list. The top 25 points winners get into a free tournament seat. I mean, it's paid for by Paramount, but the players, it doesn't cost them anything. I hate the term free as like a game runner. It's like, well, what do you mean it's free? Like they just get to play? No, like the money's put in by the club. Long story short, 25 players get an entry in compliments of Paramount Social Club, which is a sponsor of The Overlay, a poker podcast. 25 players get in, then like the top five get bonus points as well, or bonus money. Like I think the points winner got $1,000. Pretty dope, and he gets like a,
nice.
like a crystal trophy, which I kind of felt like CCG needs to up its game because like the points winner got like a legit like trophy. It was dope and a G-ball. So that guy was awesome. He didn't make it anywhere past the break, but that's fine.
He came and picked up his.
He got his G-ball, right. Got his free seat, punted it off, and he's like, "Cool, I'm out. I can leave now. $1,000 winner, which is like fourth place money." Okay, sounds pretty good. In the tournament. Paramount Cup, I almost said daddy. Daddy had, Ken had, can't say daddy because it's weird. I hung out with Harrison all day yesterday, so I got daddy on the brain. Harrison's my son, by the way. I got dealt Jax. Let me see, and this is no lie. This is the whole point of the story. No lie, I got dealt Jax four times. One, two, three. Let's go with three. Three times I got dealt Jax and I hit a set two out of the three times. I saw the flop two out of the three times, which means I flopped a set two out of three times with Jax. Brandon, question of episode 75 podcast. Oh, hey, congratulations on episode 75.
How many, 3/4 of the way to 100.
How many times do you think I won with those pocket Jacks? Two out of the three, I flopped a set.
One.
None. I didn't win any. Not one.
Listen, now that's rough because we're going to get into this episode. Seemingly the only way to win with Jax is to flop a set. Mm. And you flopped a set twice.
I flopped a set twice. Now, the first time I flopped a set, I actually wrote down the whole hand history, which I do want to go over with you because I think it's a good hand. And I actually like did it and I misplayed it so badly. It's like part of the reason why they're the most painful to play. But the second time I played them, I had Jax flopped a set, but the flop was like Jack 9-8. So like the guy across the street from me or across the table from me, he had Queen 10 and he showed it and it was all diamond flop or all clubs or whatever. It was one suit flop. And, you know, he bet something small. I called just to kind of see it. And then I got a turn and a river out of it because there were three clubs on the board. And I think the fourth club came out on the river. So I might've been able to bluff there and I didn't, but he did. He showed, he flopped straight. Obviously he had a show first.
I mean, you got a lot
of flopped straight. So like it is what it is. And like, I don't think the fourth club hit because, He's like, I would have folded if the fourth club hit, and I would have bluffed if the fourth club hit, but I didn't, because clearly I didn't have a club because the jack of clubs was out there.
Was out there, yes.
Yeah, I had two red jacks. But anyways, I hate jacks. Jacks are the worst. They're number one on my list.
Well, I mean, we really only have three hands left, right? We have jacks, and then we have ace, king, and then we have tens. And mm-hmm. I mean, jacks and tens are pretty, you know,
very similar.
Very, very similar. Mm-hmm. And I think one, the only reason that tens is slightly harder to play is because, I mean, you have to play against jacks more often when you have tens, right? I mean, jacks is in there at hand you're up against, whereas mm-hmm. when you have jacks, there isn't that. So, I mean, jacks and tens are very close. And I think from a general, like, poker room scale, I think if you polled everybody, jacks would be probably at the top of most people's list.
Yeah.
If not second.
Yep. I think, though, if you were to say, like, the top six premium hands, I think you'd have to include tens on that list, right? Because, like,
correct. Yeah.
That's the thing you
tens
do. Like,
the
aces,
bottom of the barrel.
Kings, queens, jacks, ace, king, and tens. Arguably, you could have put ace, queen up there, but that's really basically the same thing as ace, king. So it's like, for this list, if you want to pick six, it probably should have been the five toughest hold'em hands to play. And then
you can drop off. I mean,
and then jacks,
are like,
jacks would have been number
really
one.
That premium.
Right? Yeah. Jacks would have been number one and the most difficult of these top five starting hands. So I think the sixth one is kind of arbitrary, but it's basically one and the same. So it does skew the jacks off a little bit, but I honestly believe the jacks are the most difficult premium hand to play because you never feel good about it. Unless you flop a jack, it's like they might as well be eights, nines, or tens. Jacks to me are the same as eight, nine, or tens. I'm not as excited. And it's weird because like you look down at them, it's like looking down at like king queen suited. You're like, it feels like this should be better than it is, but it's not. I don't know why I'm playing it so hard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fundamental issue with jacks is when you're putting a bunch of money in the pot, there is a bunch of better hands that are also putting the money in the pot mm-hmm. with you. And then on the reverse side, when you see a safe flop with jacks, and I'm air quoting 9-6-3 rainbow, 8-7 deuce rainbow. Well, now you got to worry about eights and sevens and deuces and all that kind of crap too. And you know, you don't even feel good when the three low cards come, because whenever somebody's piling money in and you have jacks, you can convince yourself that you're beat either by the overpairs, you were beat the whole time, or you got out flopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's really messy to, you know, to win a big pot with jacks. And I think that, you know, kind of getting into the episode a little bit, we'll go, you know, blinds by blinds. But I really think that, you know, navigating around and tiptoeing around and, you know, playing pot control and, you know, not bloating pots is kind of a good strategy with jacks, because it is a great hand and you do beat a bunch of stuff. However, anytime you're piling in 20, 30, 40 big blinds, jack shrivels up to, you know, just one fourth best pair.
They just shrivel up quickly. Like they just shrivel.
They do. And then you're now you're getting put to the test in no limit hold'em, which, you know, we know is a big bluffing game and a game of people putting other people to the test. And all of a sudden, you know, that's where, you know, I got jacks. Jacks are a good gun to bring to the gunfight, but you know, you just—they're
a premium hand.
You
like
can
it's a
find,
premium
you,
hand,
you, but you can
it's a fucking
you can
face
yourself,
card.
You can convince yourself that you're beat on any board on any street with jacks. I swear. So
yeah, true.
They're tough, but
true.
I know you want to start with like, I mean, the big blinds. You want to go with like 8 to 12 some big blinds. I mean that's pretty easy. I mean, we're still trying to get all our money in preflop with jacks when we have 8 to 10 big blinds. I mean, jacks are still a premium hand when we're short stack. We look down at two red jacks, and you got anything under 15 bigs, you're ready to get it in because you want to take a flip. You can get called by tens, nines, eights, sevens.
Can we go with this
jacks.
Though? Like all of that stuff is great, and don't get me wrong, jacks are one of the top five premium hands. There's no doubt about it.
Yep,
it's
correct.
One of the most difficult of those top five, if not the most difficult. I'm still going to argue that jacks are harder to play than tens, but I have a problem with that because tens, I am much more likely to fold preflop. Tournament-wise, I'm much more like I'm much more likely to fold tens. Jacks, I have a harder time. It's like, it's a face card. I'm looking at a dude's face and I feel like that dude's looking at me too. And sometimes the one eye jack is just giving me a little wink and he's like, get it in there, Ken. Put it all in there, Ken. And I mean, if you got 15 big blinds, like you don't really have a choice. You're jamming it with jacks or tens. It doesn't give a shit either way. But I feel like this, and it did come up at Paramount because I had jacks three times. The fourth time I had jacks, it was one of the times where I look at the first card and then I start yelling because I'm the only one in the hand. And I start going, don't match, don't match, don't match, don't match, don't match. Fuck. And then they match and they're jacks. I don't mind that scenario. I don't mind being the aggressor with jacks. I mind when players are the I find it much harder to call with jacks. Is that a silly thing to say? Is that
like calling off with jacks is a lot harder to do. You feel pretty comfortable saying, all right, I'm three betting all in here. I'm all in. Yep. I got whatever. Sweet. You got me beat. You got to have queens, kings, or aces,
like,
or race.
You win. Like it was destined to not happen. It is what it is. I don't mind. But go ahead. I started to derail there the whole
thing. No, you're good. I mean, the thing with tens is they are really a borderline premium hand. And I mean, for us Omaha guys, we're going to treat tens as like kind of shitty. Like we're going to treat tens like almost set mining them only.
Right.
And we don't really count tens in the straight premium top of the creme de la creme of hold'em hands. And I think that's because we're like bad at playing them. And we always just want to find an excuse to fold them. So we just tend to tread lightly and play those hands like set mines. And I mean, that's a strategy that I would say a lot of poker players use. And you know, getting rid of tens, and the tens and jacks is kind of the cutoff, right? That's kind of where, you know, if there was 10 and a halfs, so that's right in the middle of you know, jacks, you don't really want to fold because you think it's a premium, where tens, you feel like everything's beating you. And you know you don't want to put in any money, and that's really the fundamental difference between jacks and tens. Is in my mind, jacks are a premium, and in my mind, tens are like a, hey, if I get three bet here, I'm just gonna fold because if I don't flop a set, I ain't gonna be able to play a post flop anyways. And I think that is the general good strategy. If you're not comfortable playing eights, nines, tens, even jacks, then just play them like set mines. And I mean, you know, play small pots with them. Don't try and pile money in the pot. If you're, you know what I mean? And jacks are, I kind of set this up in the previous episode. Jacks are one of those things that's so situationally dependent. And you can have jacks in the exact same tournament, in the exact same spot, with the exact same chips, in the exact same room. But if one guy opens and another guy three bets, you're folding. Whereas if the maniac opens and the short stack goes all in for nine big blinds, well, now you're going all in for your 21 big blinds. And it really, you know what I mean? Like you have jacks, it's the same spot in the same tournament, but because the old guy folded and the maniac raised and then the shorty jammed, you're now putting money all in. Whereas if the tight guy raised and then another guy re-raises him, well, now you might just be folding jacks.
Right.
In the exact same, you know, just depending on who opened before you or the action before you or the players and the stack sizes of the actions before you can affect your action. And that's, you know, something we haven't seen before because all these premium hands are kind of cookie cutter, you know? I mean, you got aces, kings, queens. We're trying to do whatever we can to pile all the chips in the pot. But now with jacks, there's times where we're just mucking them pre. And then if it goes a little bit differently, there's times we're putting our 24 big blinds all in pre.
Right.
And that's why jacks are so hard to play, because you have to figure out which time it is to pile 24 bigs and which time it is to just muck and see another hand. And that's the pain in jacks in a nutshell. When you got the maniac guy who's been going crazy raising you, and then you stand back and he gets it in and he's got kings. You go, well, you know, figures the one time this guy's actually got kings, I got jacks.
Right. That's why I hate jacks.
Then there's another time where the old guys get it all in and they both have ace king. And you're like, I'm like, jacks, you guys both got ace king. You got four outs between the two of you. And I could have had you smashed, but how am I ever going to know you guys both have ace king?
But I can't do that. Somebody... Right. Like,
correct.
I don't want to do that.
So that's where, like, the pain of jacks derives from. It's from, you know, you thinking you're making the right decision and end up being wrong. And it's all marginal because, I mean, we're talking about races here, and you know, sometimes you making the quote unquote right play just involved you dodging a flip, which, you know, when we're talking about equity wise, you know, you making a right play or a wrong play doesn't matter much because it's a flip. You're taking the flip or you're not. You're either risk averse or not. And, but then there's other times where, you know, you run into aces or kings and queens and you fold and it feels so great. You know, I got away from jacks. Jacks sucks. There's 99 to play. There's 99 ways to play jacks and they're all wrong. I mean, that's the quote. That's the quote at CCG. And I mean, there's a lot of truth to it because there really is no set way to play jacks. Nope. You really have to look.
Even when you flop
all your surroundings.
Even when you flop a set, sometimes it's still not even good.
See, now I was just going to you kind of derailed my situation here because my whole plan on the post-flop play was like, jacks are pretty easy to play when you flop a set. Uh-huh. Tough to lose when you flop a set.
You want to hear my story and how I misplayed the shit out of it?
Yeah, I want to hear it because, you know, we might as well just throw a little, you know, hand history in here for the people.
And this is good because, like, I legitimately, like, wrote it down. Like, I wrote down, where are we at?
Did you write it down?
I wrote it down.
Okay.
I have jacks under the gun. I started with around 180 to, like, I would say, like, 175 to, like, 190, 190.
Okay.
I wrote 180K. It was close. Blinds are 2,000, 4,000, 4,000 big blind ante. I'm under the gun and I look down and I have jacks. So question number one, what do you do under the gun?
45 big blinds.
The math is correct. I can't do math that fast, but yeah, I got 180K. I'm looking down at jacks. I'm first to act. What do I do?
I'm making a 10K.
Okay. I limped.
Okay.
I limped. Okay. My plan
hold on. Let me stop you. Yes.
Go ahead.
All right. Did you have a plan? Is there a reason? Why did you limp?
Okay. So my plan was to, my table had been, I had just sat down. I had had queens like maybe two or three hands before that. So I had just come.
Really good, huh?
Yeah. So like I'm feeling great. My thought process was to check raise. I'm like, I'll limp. I'll get somebody to make a 12K here to try to push out these limpers, and then I'm just going to just jam in a biggie and try to get this done pre-flop, scoop up 20, 30K. Because, again, if there's, you know, three callers plus the blinds plus the ante, like, that's a juicy-ass pot. Like,
you're either hoping it goes limp, limp, and then somebody ISOs for you to re-ISO.
Correct.
Or, you know, somebody make a raise and then maybe get a caller or two. So you either want to start the limp train and somebody raise for you to put it back on them.
That was my plan.
You know, somebody raises and you get a couple callers. Now you can punish.
What happened was I ended up going five ways to the flop.
Okay, so that's the worst. So in that situation, our jacks just shriveled to literally sixes.
So my thought process
between jacks and
sixes. My thought process my thought process with my mid tournament kind of limping with jacks under the gun is one of two ways. One, if I get an opportunity to raise preflop again, meaning I'm going to limp raise. My goal was to just limp jam if I had to. Like, I was just willing to, like, I'm going to rep. I have aces or kings. And if I actually get against aces or kings, at that point in the tournament, I had, like, a pretty big chunky stack. So, like, I had most of the table covered. Like, the only time I would be worried is, like, if the nine seat, they play nine-handed, the nine seat had, like, you know, then I had re-raised, then I would be a little nervous because he was the only one really at the table that had me covered. So
really, effective stack is going to be less than 45 blinds. Anybody else is going to be pretty much less than 45.
Yeah,
you,
everybody else is right around like the 100K, 120, 70, 60.
Okay, so
60.
Between 18 and 30 big blinds, everybody else is
right. So my plan was twofold. Okay. One, I was going to limp raise whatever I need to raise to try to take it down preflop or get it all in and just see five cards and see what happens. Second choice would be if I ended up with four limpers, then I'm just like, okay, fine. Like, I either flop a set of jacks and I'm Gucci, or I'm willing to just chuck these jacks. Like, I only put in 4,000. Like, I feel like it's a budget play. Like, I'm like, I don't know, whatever. Like, if it works, great.
Yeah, it's the same thing as sixes. It's,
if it doesn't
you put
work,
in 4,000 and
yeah, like if
try
I
flop a set.
Yeah. So sure enough, flop is beautiful. Window card, jack ball, jack 7-4 flop, two hearts. And
okay.
Again,
five way limp pot.
Yeah, which I think only the Big blind, obviously the big blind check. So the big blind checks again, comes to me. Now I flopped a set of jacks. There's two hearts on the board. Five callers at 4,000 apiece is 20,000 plus the ante is 24 plus the small blind who folded. That's another two. So it's 26K in the pot. And I bet 25,000. I just bet the pot. I bet the pot.
Okay.
It's coming out firing. Boo, boo, boo. I'm shooting. I'm and again, I'm perfectly happy to get all mucks and just take the pot down now. Super happy. But in typical Texas fashion, there's a caller for 25 who only
So can I stop and interrupt for
a second?
Yeah,
go ahead.
If you remember. For us Chicago people that are like, eek, why is he betting full pot? I think that you got to realize that the action in Texas is a little bit different in everything.
It's bigger.
So, like, you know, and you think that, like, oh, it's Jack 7-4. Like, you would love it. You have a top set. You want to get action from, you know, sevens and fours and open-enders and flush draws. Well, those guys that are calling half pot in Texas,
they're calling full pot.
Are calling full pot.
Yep.
Those guys calling half pot with 5-6 are calling full pot. Mm-hmm. And obviously those guys with flush draws are calling. So I do, you know, especially in Texas specifically, sizing up is okay a little bit more because people just do not want to give up those hands. They are playing them out. You know, it is really like, you know, full tilt poker in 2009 is Texas poker in 2022.
It is. And that's a good thing. I'm not bashing it by any means.
Of course,
any
way,
shape, or form.
It's
like,
amazing.
It's awesome. But you're right. You kind of have to size up your bets. It's funny in a funny way where you're just like, well, everything's bigger in Texas. Like, they're not lying. Like, it's bigger. Like, here's what happens. I bet full pot, 25K, yep, and I got two callers.
Okay.
Call.
And remember, nobody's got top pair.
Big blind folds. Nobody's got top pair. Maybe there's an ace jack out there. Lord willing, I wish there was an ace jack out there. call. So then the turn is a three.
Okay.
In my brain, the first thing that fires out was, what if one of them has 5-6? So I had like a brain moment where, like, I don't know, I panicked, something happened, I went freaking crazy, and I just checked.
Okay.
I crazy checked. Don't know why.
This is the PLO player in you.
This is what happens. You're right. I didn't even realize that until this very second, but I just like, check, and I just check. And sure enough, the guy the first player after me, he bets another 25,000, just peels off a 25K chip.
Okay.
The nine seat insta calls, and then it comes back to me, who has a second chance to raise. I could have raised.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like, you're just so happy to go all in.
I could have just jammed, stick it in there. And then if the guy's got 5-6. Okay, man, you beat me, and I still got a chance for the board to pair. And
still
really,
got 10 outs.
Really, out of the two players, the nine seat had me covered. The seven seat did not have me covered. So if the seven seat called with the 5-6, who I kind of thought he had 5-6, and in my poker radar put that gentleman on a straight, made straight already, and it put the kid in the nine seat, was on the flush draw. Like, I put him on a big ace, hearts. The kid's just playing hearts. He's just playing hearts. So what do you think I did, Brandon?
Well, I mean, I hope you didn't flat call, but it sounds like you flat called.
So I flat called. Like I said, I literally could not have played this hand any worse. Flat call. River is like nine of diamonds. Yeah, nine of diamonds. It was the nine of diamonds because technically, like, if you had like a middle card, both straights got there. So if you had you could have made a straight in a bunch of different ways. The baby straight, the baby straight got there. Big straight got there. Flush draw got there. I check. I'm deflated. I'm so pissed. The middle guy who, I don't know what he had. He pissed check too. He was like grumpy check, you know. He was mad that the hearts came out for sure. I mean, where it is playing on his face.
Okay, so the river wasn't on the hearts.
It was the nine of hearts. Yeah, the flush draw got there. So all of the straights got there. All of the flushes got there.
I got you. So everything's there.
Yeah, well, the story's not done yet because it still gets worse.
Yeah.
Then the kid makes like just the best bet. Now let's count this up. There was 25K in there pre-flop. I bet 25, got three callers. That's 100K. Then another 25 goes in on the turn, three callers. That's 175. There's 175,000 in the middle.
Yep.
And the kid bets, what's like
50,000?
Yeah, it's 60. He bets 60. It's like just such a perfect like bet where I was just like, man, I can't not call for 60. And I'm in the weird position too where like there's the guy behind me.
There's a guy behind me.
So I could totally just call 60 and have him like be the full on just jamming in.
All
and then
in.
He, yeah, and just, and now I'm like, what am I going to do now? I can't call now. I was just punting another 60,000. I call, grumpy check guy checks, and the kid rolls over like ace six of spades.
Spades?
Sorry, ace six of hearts. He had the nuts at that point. He had the nuts. So yeah, after all that, the flush draw gets there, and the kid's good with the nut hearts.
To make you feel any better, you were probably going to lose anyways.
Yeah,
but you just played it bad.
And he wasn't needling. He was just saying, "He's like, yeah, man. He's like, you jam on the turn. I don't think I can call. He's like, unless the other guy called, and then maybe. But he's like, more often. And the other guy's like, well, I wasn't calling. And he's like, yep. He's like, you jam on the turn. You're good. You win the pot.
Yeah, I mean, you got the second nuts on the turn against the flush draw. You got to be protecting and just call.
Yeah, that was, like I said, I literally could not have played that hand worse. And when the kid bet 60,000 and it came back to me, I mean, I was next to act. I was just like, I literally couldn't have played this any worse. Like, this is awful. So bad.
Yeah, I mean, and your hand's so under wrapped because you limped with them pre-flop, yep. And then nobody gave you action. So nobody even in the world's putting you on jacks.
Nope.
They would wager that you had a set of sevens or fours way before.
And then jacks. He literally, when I bitch called, he was like, he's like, I was like, I said to him, like, I could not have played this hand any worse. He goes, you have jacks? I was like, I do. I mean, it was like best.
Like he knew the hand that you played bad.
Right. Like he just knew what would the worst hand be for me to play. And that was it. So yeah, that was pretty amazingly bad. But yeah, that was my jack
story.
So
don't do that, folks.
No.
On this way of how to play jacks, do the opposite of that. Raise preflop.
I should have raised preflop.
When you have
I should have jammed if I wanted it. If I was gonna, you know, I should have jammed on the flop. If you know, or you know, I guess
no,
I did
flop's fine.
Not the flop. Sorry, I did bet the flop. I should have jammed on the turn when the straights. You know, if a guy had 5-6, you just win, sir. Like, sorry, I'm not good enough. Like, I should have just continued. I slowed down, and as I slowed down, it ended up costing me more. And I even had an opportunity to raise again, and I didn't. So bad. And then later on in the tournament, and it was so funny, same kid, we get moved, we're down to two tables, there's like 18 players left, 17 players left in the tournament. And now at this point, I've still got around like 250, but the blinds are 10-20, so like I'm floating around like 8 to 10 to 12 big blinds. Like I you know, I pay a couple rounds, I'd win one round. I mean, nothing's really happening. I'm stuck at that like 10K mark, or I'm sorry, 10 to 12 big blind mark. Think I was the big blind. He bets like 100K, and I think the blinds were 25,000 to 20. Man, he bet 75,000 or something. And of course, I sure enough, I look down and I have jacks, and I ended up mucking him. I was like, I don't have the heart to play jacks again. Maybe it was a bad move. Maybe I should have just called and just it's like you said, if you run into a bigger pair, like it is what it is. Like I couldn't help myself. I folded him. I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't be around jacks. I won't.
Ladies
do it.
And gentlemen, the pain of pocket jacks.
I mean, I literally folded preflop. Now, granted, I probably would have gone all in if he'd have limped. So if he'd have like limp caught me with like aces or kings or queens, then
he just trapped you.
Then he trapped me, and then I would have felt better. It's a trap. It would have been fine, but he bet, which probably put him on like a big ace king, ace queen, ace jack. Which I guess when you have jacks, the best thing you could see is ace jack, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh yeah. You want him to have ace jack, then you're 70-30. And I mean, taking races with jacks is just part of the game.
It is. I couldn't do it. As it turned out, it worked out well for me. I made the right decisions. And I actually noticed on the stream, you can watch me on the stream. Paramount Social has a live stream on their YouTube channel. I think it's Paramount Poker TV. on YouTube. Just search for Paramount Social on YouTube. And I'm on there for the Paramount Cup, which was pretty awesome. I won't spoil the winner, but it was me. It was so funny.
It was you, huh?
I tweeted it out on the CCG handle, and one of the players was like, one of our players from Chicago was like, man, sixes, because like early in the game I had pocket sixes, and somebody did the same thing. Like, I want to be the aggressor with jacks or like a smaller pair at the final table. I don't want to be calling with those hands. I want to be all in. And if you call me and you got a better hand, hey, it's just the way the cards played out. But I don't really want to call an all in or going on the top of them with jacks. Sure enough, I have sixes. The small stack at the table went all in. I was the second small stack going into the final table. He goes all in. I looked down at sixes. I was like, damn it. Wish I'd have done that first. But I don't really want to do that, especially since there were like five players after me. So I muck. Sure enough, flop comes out. Six, king, five. I'm like, fuck. I would have knocked out like three players.
Yeah, you told me that.
I would have like 4X'd
up. You called me. You're like, I could have just had all the chips.
Yep, I did.
But I just didn't want to play sixes because I didn't want to call it off. I wanted to be the aggressor.
Yep. Trying to play good. Listen to the podcast. Doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
And you won anyways, so don't be results oriented.
Can you go over those stats for the jacks against like a 10-handed tournament table? Like what they are?
First off, jacks randomly, there's 12% chance that somebody has a bigger pocket pair dealt than you. So, I mean,
really?
You know, 1 in 10. Yeah, 1 in 10 that somebody gets, they're just a random hand. You got jacks. Odds that somebody has kings, queens, or aces, 12%. So I don't really know what that stat does. I mean, you don't really want to carry that into battle when, like, you know, you're getting 3-bet, 4-bet, 5-bet, then they flip over and they got aces. You're like, damn, I thought there's only supposed to be a 12% chance I had a better hand. Like, that's not what that's saying. That's just more of like a general
just
stat.
Statistical.
Don't, like,
yeah.
Don't use that in your arsenal. But yeah, 12% of the time, it's like, you know, what are the odds that you flop a flush? 1 in 168, and then somebody else has to flop a flush too. You know, but that doesn't mean that it's like 1 in a million that you got flush over flush. That's not what that means. Anyways, so now they Poker 888 had an article that came out that said that you are 12% to you have 12% equity with jacks in a 10-handed game. 12%.
Wow.
19% equity in a 9-handed game, running all the way up to 40% equity in a 4-handed game, 50% equity in a 3-handed game, 78% equity in heads-up poker. So you can really see those equities when you get down into, you know, 5-4-3 or heads-up action. Those equities really shoot to the moon. But your equity in a 9-handed game is only 19%. I mean, you're going to lose with jacks 4 out of every 5 times in a full ring game. So keep that, you know, keep your.
Run that by me one more time. What's the odds? What's that last thing that you just said? If
You're only going to win, you're going to lose with jacks 4 out of 5 times in a 9-handed ring game.
Ugh.
You only have 20% equity with jacks.
I think my over is just be prepared to fold jacks. Just like they're the worst.
They really are.
I feel like
and
more
when
tournament
lights
go down
right,
with jacks.
They do. And you know, and I think that there's a difference between your chip stacks of like having, like, you don't want to play too tight, right? I mean, you don't want to sit there in the 10K WSOP and like only play queens or better. And like every time you get played back and just muck, like that's not what you want to do. That's how you're going to get run over. I feel like that's a little bit of what I did this year. And I felt like I was getting run over. And then I kind of switched gears and then I kind of stuck it in too light with ace jack on ace seven deuce and the guy had ace queen. And you know, there's a balancing act of like when you need to go to battle with jacks and when you don't need to. And I think when you have, you know, obviously when you're short stack, you need jacks, you want jacks, you look down at jacks and you're happy about them. You're going to go all in. And either way, one way or the other, win or lose a tournament, you feel good about what happened there with jacks.
Yeah.
Then there comes a different, you have a different, you know, area of the tournament and a different chip stack where jacks are fun to get involved with, but we're not trying to put in 30, 40, 50 big blinds, especially pre-flop, in there with Jags, because now we're just unnecessarily punting away. So there's a fine line between just like getting run over and punting. And that fine line really is small. And so you need to kind of, you know, maybe ask yourself, do I need to be getting involved in a big pile here with Jags? When there's 2 hour levels and you have 110 big blinds, the answer is unequivocally no, you don't. And, you know, so then play your Jacks like you don't need to get involved with them. When you got 22 big blinds somewhere else in a tournament, when you're not even close to the money, hell yeah, get involved with those Jacks. You know, when you're on the money bubble and everyone's stealing around from you, but you're really comfortable and have way enough chips, sweet. Go to town with Jacks. Play them like the races. You know, put pressure on somebody with a premium hand. But then there's other times where, you know, even if you think that they're stealing from you, even if their hand range is a little wider than it should be, and, you know, they have bluffs in there, you can let them bluff you. You can muck Jacks. I mean, you know, you can live to see another day, and you don't need to go down fighting with Jacks always. And I think that's a good, you know, rule to go by. Is, you know, ask yourself, do I need to get involved here in a big pot? If the answer is yes, then go fight. If the answer is no, you know, tiptoe around, maybe limp, maybe try and flop sets, maybe
and then
old guy.
Punt call the whole way down and lose. Don't do that.
I wasn't talking about the way you played.
No, that was terrible. Good God, am I so mad?
I don't know. What else you got for Jacks? You got anything? I mean, we saw a hand this year on how not to play Jacks.
Yep.
I mean, deep stack poker is really when you're going to get trouble with Jacks. And this is, I know I sound like a broken record, and I always tell you that I sound like a broken record, but use all the other stuff in your arsenal. Use your positioning. Use your live reads on the same guys that you've been playing with for 5 hours. Use, you know, the fact that the old guy hasn't raised in an hour, or use that this guy's raised every hand. All the information that you could possibly compile into making a decision is more important to compute all that information with Jacks than it is Kings or Aces. Because you're just generally going to have them smoked with Kings or Aces no matter what they did. Whereas different situations come up where Jacks can be absolutely the nuts or absolutely a snap fold in the same exact tournament in the same situation with the same chip stack. So there really is no cookie cutter way on how to play Jacks. They're all wrong. No, they're not all wrong. They're not all wrong. But,
yeah,
you know,
99 problems.
But there is definitely some high variance routes, some low variance routes. And in general, you're going to kind of want to pick something in between those two. Don't just play them as set mines, you know, and when the flop comes 3-4 deuce, just fold to the first bet. However, be aware that when it goes bet all in, that, you know, maybe they flop a set of fours, maybe they had, or flop a set of fives, maybe they have ace four suited,
right?
Maybe they were laying in the weeds with aces, kings, and queens pre-flop trying to limp raise, and they didn't, you know what I mean? All
you're not supposed to do, go back and listen to the other podcast episodes. That's not the way you play them.
Correct. But, you know, in general, we need to be using all of the information given to us, in addition to the fact that our hand is jack of clubs, jack of spades. We need to use everything else around us to make good decisions. In general, I like to play Jacks kind of small ball-y. You know, I like to raise preflop. I like to 3-bet preflop, but then I like to check back on flops. And then, you know, delayed C-bet on turns, and then maybe go for a second string on the river.
Depending on who it is, what the runout is.
I definitely like checking Jacks on board pairs, like 10-4-4. Like, just check back. Let all these ace and king highs think that they're good. Give them a card. That's fine. Whenever they flop a pair of tens, they're going to think they're golden after it goes check, check on the flop.
Right.
They never have 3-4s and hold them because, you know, nobody flops trips.
I have a hard time getting out of the PLO mindset.
Yeah, but yeah, you do. You're just like, oh, 10-4-4. Like, yeah,
somebody's got a four. Yeah,
no, I like it like, well, I'm either way ahead here or I'm way behind. They either have a 10 or maybe a 4. And I'm crushing them, or they have aces, kings, or queens, and I'm way behind. So checking back and seeing a turn is great. Now, sometimes the turn's going to come a king, and they're going to bet the turn. I'm going to call. They're going to bet the river, and I'm going to have to make a decision. And that just sucks. But that comes with the territory of checking back the flop, and I'm prepared for that.
Yeah.
Whereas it's different than you start pounding the flop and they call, and then, you know, a turn comes scary or not, then they pound the turn again, or you pound the turn again, and they call again. Well, now you're like, well, now what? I mean, now, you know, I'm scared that they're slow playing something. I'm scared that they got, you know, they're defensively playing queens or kings because they're worried about me having, you know, the one up from them. So I just think going balls to the walls and firing three streets with jacks is very, very, very tough.
Even if they're all undercards, like,
correct. Right? You like, can't just go bet with jacks to get call, and have them have ace nine, tie pair, tie kicker. That rarely ever happens. Like, that's the dream.
That
but
is
more
dream.
Often than not, you're going to get raised. And then when you get raised, I mean,
just give them up.
That sucks because now you're getting exploited where somebody's like, man, I know this guy has king. I know this guy has queens, jacks, or tens. I'm just going to flat call, and then raise all in on this river on a scary card. And now you just shrivel up and just muck them. And that sucks. I don't like to muck jacks. So I like to try to maneuver to get to show down my jacks in a relatively small to medium sized pot.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, the strat for me, unless I can get them all in pre because I'm short.
I like it. I think jacks are, I think arguably they're the toughest to play. Clearly,
they
I don't
are.
Know how to play them. They're very, very tough hands. But again, it's like one of those things. Every time you look at a jack, every other time I'm hoping that there's another jack behind it. So it's like, again, it's the whole theme of this mini series of the toughest premium hold'em hands. It's that we all want them to be what they are. And then it's like, then you get what you want and you're like, oh man, what do I do now? And that's what I always have a lot of trouble with. But anyways, as always, thank you for listening to The Overlay and letting us know your thoughts. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Overlay Pod, all one word, The Overlay P-O-D. Check us out on Twitter. We do some cool stuff. I did post some videos from Texas.
Nice.
So check some of those out. Other than that, you know,
we got ace king up next, and I know that you know, next to jacks, ace king people are like, well, how do you play ace king? And you know, I think we'll actually have some lines and some math. Ace king's a little bit easier to like, you know, define when to play. There's not a gazillion lines like jacks. You can basically play them however you want, and that's what makes them so hard to play.
Yep. I kind of feel like that's like the peak of the mini series here is the second hardest hand, which is ace king. But yeah.
Because, man, people, there's some people that swear by ace king.
You live
there's
or some die. People that, live or that die, just, man. It's like Mr. Miyagi. You want to live or die. And they just have to decide pre-flop. Die. You know, nah, I'm out. I'm done. I'll say I'm sorry. Ace king, to me, I'm not on the die fence. Like, I got no problem chucking in ace king. I find that ace king is just it's overrated to me. I think I secretly hate all premium hands when I have chips.
You just want to have seven.
I just want to have shitty cards. Yeah, I really don't want good cards when I have chip stack. I want ace king when I have like 12 big blinds because then it's easy. Then I just jam it all in. I don't know how to play premium hands unless I have the no brainer.
Just have to go all in with them.
Just all in stack. I am a very good short stack player, and I will show that in the stream at the Paramount Cup series. I literally was the short stack. There was no real post flop play. It was all pre flop play, and I'm very good at that. I know what I want to do. I've got good feelings. I got ideas. I definitely in my live stream, I definitely was limping a couple of my bad hands and then folding so that I could get a limp in and try to get a raise and then actually have a real hand, which was great.
Nice.
So I did that, and actually I got the chip leader to go all in against me when I had a million in chips, and we were all pretty even, and like maybe two out of six hands I had limped folded to an all in, and then I limped. No, the guy next to me limps, and I was like, yeah. And it comes back to the big blind. I was the button. I limp. Small blind limps. He looks down and just snap all ins for 1.7 million. I got 1.2 million. I was like, call ace 10 suited. I mean, that's what I wanted it to happen.
And what did he have?
He had like king four. No, he had,
there you go.
He had king 10. We were sharing a card.
Oh, even better.
Even worse. Yeah. So like he was down to it, three kings, and I was still nervous as shit. But it was great. So yeah.
So ace king next.
Ace king next.
And I'm in a tournament. I'm a die by ace king guy.
Really?
Cash game guys, I don't really care too much for ace king. In a tournament, I'm ready to put all my chips in.
Ready to rock.
We'll get into that next week.
Yep. Ace King next week. Thank you, as always, for listening. Hit us up on Twitter, and we'll catch you down in Texas or up in Chicago, wherever you might be. And occasionally, we even go to Vegas. Come and see us. We'll check the Twitter feed. It's what we're Twittering.
It's what we're Twittering.
Leave us out, Brando.
Farewell, all. See you at Bridgeview this weekend.
See you, everybody. Bye.